Hey, everybody. Good morning. Special meeting of the Story County Board of County Commissioners will now come to order. First up is item two, discussion for possible action, approval of special meeting agenda for March 17th, 2020. Any changes to be made to this agenda, Mr. Osborne?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? Get a motion to approve.
I move to approve the special meeting agenda for March 17, 2020.
Second.
Been moved in second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving on now to item number three, board comments. No action, public comment. Do the board members have any additional comments?
Nothing today, thank you.
Nothing.
We'll move on to item number four, discussion for possible action, approval of resolution number 20568, declaring an emergency due to COVID-19. Joe, do you want to read the resolution? Do you want me to?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I can.
Come on up.
Thank you, sir.
Joe Curtis for the record. If I may, I'd like to present some informative information for you. Informative information, that's kind of redundant, isn't it? First off, let me wish you all a happy St. Patrick's Day. It's not often that we have these things on actually St. Patrick's Day. So, commissioners, as you well are aware, as of this moment, we have no reported cases of COVID-19 in Story County. That doesn't mean it's not going to come to us in the near future. We're surrounded by counties that do have some indications of individuals who have been infected with this virus. And so it's probably a when, not an if, for us. As you know, we participate in the Quad County Multi-Agency Coordination Group, which consists of Carson, Story, Lyon, and Douglas counties. This includes the Quad County Health Coalition Group and the Quad County Health Planning Group, who are sections of the Carson City Health and Human Services Department, with whom we all work very closely together relating to all sorts of emergencies in the Quad County area, and particularly as of late regarding the COVID-19 virus outbreak. We have been, since the early part of the month when this all started, closely following the progression of COVID-19 health matters and events as they progress in our bordering counties and as they progress in one way or another within our own county. Residents and businesses and industry in all districts of our county are a major concern for us. We have been looking at the effects, the potential effects of business within Virginia City itself, as well as the significantly different impacts that it could have with the industrial complex. Your Story County Emergency Management Team have pursued a number of prudent preventative and mitigation measures to help stem the spread of COVID-19 into Story County, as well as working with and looking at the four-county region. We've made a number of recommendations that we have utilized or obtained through dealing with the State Health Department, the Quad County Health Coalition, the CDC on a federal level, and other local resources that we have, as well as examples of preventative measures enacted in our neighboring counties. And we've used these things in our own decisions. Many of these decisions have not come easy. They have been difficult communications between the team members as to how we can progress with these sort of things. But we recognize that there is a major impact on both business and the county government itself. We've had to cancel large attendance events, as evidenced by the loss of the mountain oyster fry, for one, and have looked at and pretty much looked at the factor that we may have to cancel these things through the end of April. One of the things that had progressed in that regard in the last few days was to close the senior center for congregate meals, but continuing the Meals on Wheels project to ensure that our seniors are cared for. The Meals on Wheels program will operate as normal. In Virginia City, we'll have on-site lunch available by drive-through, if you will, through the front door, or not through the front door, but to the front door. That'll be Monday through Friday from 12 to 1 p.m. For seniors 60 and over. At the front entrance of the VC Center, if you drive past the front, then you can get a meal, or that can be delivered if you have difficulty getting to it, but you need to be a 60 or over senior. We've met with all department heads to consider their continuity of operation plans and prepare them to potentially deal with reduced staffing in looking at innovative ways to do that. As a result of the schools being ordered closed, which is has been done by the governor, we've already run into some staffing issues within county government, and local businesses have reported to me that they've also run into these situations, which includes several businesses out in TRI that I've had contact with that mentioned that their staffing factors are affected by the school closings as well. The closing down of local business is a major concern of the Story County Emergency Management Team. In conjunction with the county manager and other department heads, we've discussed this at length, and recommendations for other methods for mitigation of the COVID-19 in our businesses other than closing them, which is felt to be, I think, is counterproductive to any kind of resilience of these businesses in the county as a whole. It may not be the proper action for Story County to do that kind of thing, and it's something that we are daily and almost hourly looking at and considering given the turn of events on an hourly basis. We've been in close contact with many businesses in the TRI, such as AUECC, Tesla, Pittsburgh Paints, Studio 6 Hotels. Those are examples that I've been in personal contact with, and they've asked a number of questions as to what the plans are for Story County. We are carefully considering optional mitigation methods. These are businesses that have, in the industrial complex, that have all sorts of manufacturing processes going on that you can't just shut down, that these people product that is possibly hazardous in nature, that you can't just stop the flow of this product for completing their projects. So that's things that we have to look at. That is a little different than some of the other counties, but we've got a unique situation with TRI that we have to consider. The Quad County, Story County being part of it, have agreed to participate in a fully funded, what's called a drive-by pod station, drive-by swab pod station. This is something that FEMA and the federal government is putting together. This is happening as we speak, and trucks went out yesterday to go into California and Washington to conduct these drive-by swab stations in highly difficult areas where there is significant potential. The way it works is that there are basically two kinds of requisitions. There's what's called a large pod station and another one called a small pod station. And it has to do with the number of testing supplies that they have in these trucks that they'll do this with. The Quad County basis is that there would actually be one of these trucks that would come here, and it's in all likelihood it's probably going to happen next week, that they will actually set up in Carson City to service the four counties, Carson, Douglas, Lyon, and Story. Public information would go out as to how you would access this. Now, this is not for every single resident to drive by and get tested, because you undergo an interview process whereby that interview will tell you or tell the medical personnel, which are actually dispatched out here from the federal government or through FEMA as well, to operate these stations. But depending upon that interview, if you meet the certain criteria that interview involves, then you would receive a swab and you would be tested. So it's not 100% of any one of the counties. It's a portion of those individuals who meet the requirements that are felt need to be tested. This would, like I say, quite likely take place beginning next week, if at all possible. The administrative and coordination aspects of FEMA will have to be dealt with or put forth by each of the counties. So Story County would probably have request some assistance in helping to administer and coordinate this pod swab station in Carson. That would be part of our in-kind involvement for getting money back from FEMA in the long run. So what happens is if we look at conducting or declaring a state of emergency, we look at the fact that the federal government declared a national emergency, the state government of Nevada declared a state emergency, and by doing that, it provides opportunities for dollars from FEMA, much like we did in the snowstorms and winter storms of the winter of 16 and 17. So FEMA comes back up, and so when we declare, should we do so, a county emergency, it opens doors for up to 75% of our costs involved in mitigating and dealing with the emergency as it relates to Story County. 25% is the match that we take in. So that can either be in-kind or actual funds expended, the cost of equipment utilized, and so forth. And there's ways to mitigate that down so it doesn't involve a whole lot of actual dollars. To acquire the FEMA dollars, it's necessary for the county to declare an emergency, that an emergency exists in Story County related to the COVID-19 virus situation. Lyon County, Elko County, Douglas County, Washoe County, and Carson City is in the process, but they've all already declared emergencies in their counties relative to the COVID-19 emergency. This is a Nevada emergency, and it's a local county emergency. As such, the Story County Emergency Management Team is recommending that Story County also pass a declaration of emergency for Story County so as to join our neighbors in mitigating this event and ensure our participation in federal funding opportunities to assist Story County in our efforts to combat the COVID-19 disease spread in the Quad County region and in Story County specifically. Are there any questions relating to what I've provided you at this point? No particular questions? At this point then, if you may, I'll read to you the proposed resolution, which is actually, I don't have the rest of the number that goes after 20. What's the number?
568.
Oh, 20568. Thank you. This is resolution number 20-568, a resolution declaring an emergency due to COVID-19. Declaration of emergency. Whereas NRS 414.090 authorizes the formation of county emergency management organizations, and whereas Story County has created Story County Emergency Management as set forth in Story County Code Chapter 2.20, and whereas Story County Code Section 2.20.030 authorizes the declaration of an emergency whenever it is considered necessary, and whereas the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, has identified a new respiratory illness, which it has named Coronavirus Disease 2019, or COVID-19, and whereas the World Health Organization has declared that COVID-19 is a global pandemic, And whereas Donald Trump, President of the United States, declared on March 13, 2020, that COVID-19 constitutes a national emergency under the Stafford Act and has authorized FEMA to provide assistance to state and local governments. And whereas Stephen Sisolak, Governor of the State of Nevada, has also declared that COVID-19 constitutes an emergency in the State of Nevada. And whereas the neighboring states of California, Oregon, Washington, Utah, Arizona have all declared state of emergency in the light of the presence of COVID-19 in their states. And whereas COVID-19 has been identified as present in the neighboring counties of Washoe and Carson City, and whereas COVID-19 is an easily transmittable virus which causes death and disease and constitutes an immediate hazard to the health and welfare of the residents of Story County, visitors to Story County, and to those persons working in Story County. And whereas NRS 241.020 authorizes boards of county commissioners to take an action without the requirement of giving 3 working days advance notice when an emergency exists. And whereas emergency action is necessary to protect public health, safety, and in and around Story County. Now, therefore, it is hereby declared that a state of emergency exists in Story County and that the county manager, in conjunction with the department heads and county officials, are authorized to take whatever actions are necessary to prevent, mitigate, and or contain the spread of COVID-19 as may be appropriate and available, including requesting assistance from the state of Nevada. Dated this day of March in 2020 for signatures by commission's members Marshall McBride, Jay Carmona, and Lance Gilman. Any questions?
The only question I have is that since we're in the Quad County area, what we wouldn't want our Lockwood residents to have to go to Carson City. Would they be able to go to Reno, to Washoe County?
Yes, they could. Absolutely. There will be pods set up there for doing it, and they would those folks would have access to going into Washoe County to do that testing as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Board members have any more questions for Joe? Will we open up any public comment? Ms. Bard.
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. Understanding that this is an ongoing and rolling plan, there are a couple of things. You know, you mentioned that the school closures are already beginning to impact staffing. I had read that in the other counties that they are continuing with deliveries of the kids' breakfasts and lunches. So the buses are still going to run, but instead of picking up and delivering kids, they're going to deliver those kids' meals, et cetera. So one question I have is, do we have that issue here in Story, and is that something that we're going to be doing for the kids? So that's one thing. The second thing is, do we have the tests to do the drive-by? You may not have that answer, but there's that. And then the third thing is, you know, you've already mentioned, you know, our situation up here with our merchants is unique. It's different than TRI is unique, and we're also unique on C Street. What are the, or are there any, from an economic emergency disaster standpoint, what can the merchants, where do the merchants go? What can the merchants look to get economic relief? I understand, I know about the SBA loans because I posted that myself. And so those are the three areas. You know, do we have the tests? What about the kids? Do they need more assistance besides staying home doing chores and learning? And then the third thing is economic support for the disaster that hopefully our merchants don't suffer, but likely.
Joe, you take the first two. I'll take the last one. Before we came in here, the president and others had been on national television along with the Secretary of the Treasury, and they were talking about how they were going to go ahead and maybe getting dollars into individual persons' pockets. Now they don't. This is going to have to take legislation through Congress, which would take time, and you don't even know if it's going to come to be. But they're talking about it. They don't know how they're going to do it yet, if they're going to do it yet. But the federal government is talking about that, so they're on top of it. Go ahead, Joe.
Joe Curtis, for the record. The first question, reference to providing food sources and so forth for the school kids and so forth. Yes, in talking with Todd Hess and considering those kind of things, at this point in time, we have access to the bus system if we needed it for whatever. Superintendent Hess has offered that to us. We don't see that at this moment that we need to utilize the bus systems. However, one thing that I have to confess I was unaware of, but I was impressed with when I heard it, is that our school system has a one-to-one ratio of laptop computers that for the kids in all the schools. So they have a plan to have the children work from home and utilize the computer system on a digital basis. You'd have to the specifics of that you would need to discuss with Superintendent Hess how they exactly do that, but that's in reference to the school and the buses. Let's see, the second question was...
Do we have enough tests?
I'm sorry?
Do we have enough tests?
That's an excellent question. To kind of flesh that out a little bit about the pod testing thing, is the federal government will come to and set up that pod station. As again, I say it'll be in Carson City, because they can't do it in every single little small community in the nation. So they have to regionalize it. But they will come here with a small, what's called a small pod, is 2,000 test pieces. The large pod is 4,000 test items. Now, it's pretty well recognized, statistically speaking, that you'd be lucky to, of your whole population in a given region, to have 50% of that population, and more like about 10 to 12% of that population, given population, that would actually show a need to be tested. And as I said again, mentioned that the testing process is only given to those individuals that pass, if you will, the interview process that establishes the criteria for them to be tested. So they will provide all of the supplies, all of the equipment, and for a small pod, they would bring 20 to 25 medical personnel, so it would not impact our own personnel. And for a large pod, if they bring, it would bring upwards to 40 medical personnel, and they would provide the thing to the multi-lane drive-by testing process. So it appears to be a fairly well thought out process that they have in mind to do. The first equipment left, as we understand it, yesterday, and went to California and into Washington, where Sherry is, and so that process is in works, and there'll be no cost whatsoever to our county or any of the other counties in the Quad County region relating to that. The only thing we would have is maybe we would, Laura or I may have to go down and assist them in setting things up or administration of it and coordination of the operation. I did receive on the third item, just briefly, Mr. Chairman, I did receive a thing in this morning email that I got that spoke to a kind of a webinar, or I guess it would be technically a webinar, that is for businesses, and it will be done, I believe they said, every day for several weeks, and maybe some of it twice a day, where you could get on, all the businesses could get on, and so I've actually this morning requested through Ronell to acquire an email listing for all the businesses at TRI, and then Ronell will work with Denny Dotson to get the necessary emails to work with our businesses here in the community. And what this is for you to find out exactly the processes that you would need to go through to help your business, large or small, with dealing with the difficulties of maintaining yourselves in business, and particularly some of these counties that are just trying to shut everything down. That's one option I've seen as of this morning. And from that, Commissioner McBride, I'll give it to you. You said you wanted to address that section. Am I right, or was it a different section?
No, he talked about it beforehand.
Oh, okay. You said you would answer question number three. Problem is, yeah, I don't remember what question about, number three
about,
is.
About, Nicole was asking about financial assistance and things like that. She brought up where, you know, SBA will put out low-interest loans.
So correct.
It's good enough. They're not grants, so if they borrow the money, they've got to pay the money back. And that's, you know, that's one of the reasons we want to keep Story County open and operational because, you know, are we as a board, are we going to go ahead and determine, you know, what is a viable business out there? If you talk to any business owner down there, they think that they need to operate, provide them an income for their livelihood and for their staff, their employees. So,
the business that I've talked to seem to feel that they will make whatever adjustments they need to make to continue operation of their businesses, but they don't want to be closed down.
Right, and statistically, the most recent stats that I've seen is that those who post symptoms, that between 98 and 99% of the people who post symptoms, their test comes back negative.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a very small number of people who actually do contract the virus. And, of course, I think we know people who've already had this virus and they've recovered okay. The thing is that when they talk about a disease, the virus is not a disease, but it causes disease like pneumonia and things like that. And so when they're talking about those who have compromised, underlying compromised systems to start with, mostly in the elderly, those are the ones that are going to be mostly affected because they're already struggling to start with. So you have, once again, you get attacked by a virus and it's going to lead to more serious things. But for most people, you know, they say it's worse than the flu, but for most people, you're going to go ahead and you're going to survive this. You're going to get sick, but you're going to survive it. But
that's correct. That's exactly as I understand it as well from all the things I get. I can't even tell you how many emails that I get each day from the Quad County, from the state, from the feds, from businesses, from you know, and so, you know, we're looking to address all those things. So that one, and we'll get that. I don't have your particular email. And what I'm thinking is, if you can give it to me, then I'll send you this connection that the feds sent out this morning that you could see. And you might want to get on there on that webinar and check that out. But we want to get that out to all of our businesses. And so Ronnell, I know, has been in touch with Denny on this stuff and so forth.
You know,
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, go ahead.
If I may, a couple of points. I certainly defer to Superintendent Hess and his directives, but I believe that the school lunching program, that they are going to be furnishing lunches, mm-hmm. as they have been. I think it's going to be a drive-by kind of
yes.
program out of the schools so that we continue the food programs with the school kids. Also, I'm associated with a private foundation, and that foundation has committed and has contact at this point, and we are delivering food to both of the senior community centers on a continuing basis.
Correct.
And to the extent food's available. And also we're continuing the backpack program that has been in place for several years. So to the best of our ability, we're going to continue the food distribution
program. Excellent points. That's correct. I do about that. I failed to mention. I apologize. Other thoughts or questions or anything? Nicole, did I answer all your questions? Somewhat, anyway.
Okay. Well, I'll ask once again if there's any additional public comment.
There is one thing I'd like to say. I know that hand sanitation devices have been put on the boardwalk, and that was on there, I think, early last week or towards the end of last week.
Denny arranged for that.
Yep, I do definitely want to compliment everybody that has been associated with this. It's been extremely fluid. But I think overall, we've done, you know, within reason what we can to keep the boardwalk busy. I think the reality is, no matter how much we push it, people are in survival mode right now. Therefore, people aren't looking to go and do touristy things. I think that's just something we got to brace ourselves for. But I do applaud you guys for at least trying to make that stuff available for the tourists that do want to come up. You know, it at least shows that Story County is not just turning a blind eye So I do want to compliment everybody involved with that, and let's just hope this thing's over and done with as soon as possible.
We've had our public works department and as well as other members of the emergency management team have made numerous phone calls to various sundry locations, suppliers and so forth, to try to find hand sanitation material that we could like hand out as samples and stuff, and there's nothing available anyplace. We've even spoken directly with Walmart at the industrial center, that kind of product has actually been transferred some time ago to I believe it's their San Jose distribution center. So they don't have any of that kind of product any longer.
Yep.
So we have Jason Wisbecki has tried all of their suppliers, and it's just zero in terms of finding anything. Mm-hmm. You know, been bought up.
Yep.
So, any other questions? No. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. For the record, Denny Dotson, Tourism Director here in Virginia City. Pretty interesting times, you know, and I always look back on probably a famous quote that says that times like this, you need strong leadership and you need good communication. We're very fortunate here that we have Joe at the helm with this, and we have Austin and you commissioners, so I appreciate that. There's been a lot of miscommunication that gets you know, turned around out there from other municipalities. You look at what happened in Reno yesterday. It created additional panic that we don't need right now. Our messaging is what we do in Virginia City is to drive traffic. We stopped all messaging on Friday. It was our last thing, and I canceled all of our current marketing initiatives to that tone. What we have done as of today, this afternoon, we'll be putting out some different type of a message, and that's more local based on I've got staff out there gathering information in regards to who's changed their business model, who's doing online sales, who's doing curb delivery, and whatever they can do to stay open. We're going to promote that message here locally that, you know, hey, we all need to eat. We all need services. Go order online. Have it delivered. That type of stuff. So that's going to come out today. RAD is working on that messaging now that we'll approve and put out shortly after this meeting adjourns. With that, we also all creating some additional what to do in Virginia City. We're going to do some self-guided tours, whether they are with our mobile app, whether they are walking or through your mobile or auto, you know, driving, that would associate, hey, stop by or call ahead and pick up a cup of coffee here or a pizza here or a lunch there. Drive around. Use the mobile app. So, again, some things that would still be proactive with our social distancing, but yet still promote Virginia City, specifically the locals, to help them. So, again, this could change tomorrow. We know that. But, again, I think that the communication that we've put out over the last 3 or 4 days has been based on sound information and advice from those professionals, and it's with one voice. And I think that we need to continue that so we don't create additional panic. I am proud of the way we've handled this. It's been a whirlwind, obviously, for a lot of people. In regards to special events, Joe mentioned a cancellation or potentially postponement. I've been in contact with several of our event promoters. I concur. The CDC has suggested. Sparks announced yesterday, and I may be even tied to a Quad County Health Department announcement that they suggest a 60-day postponement. I think that's prudent. I think we should look at that. There are a lot of dates still available on the calendar. We have time to adjust that calendar, just like with Rural Roundup. We're not losing that. We scheduled it for a shoulder season in October. So we've already had communication with the hoteliers to change those room blocks, you know, our caterers to hold off, but still put us on the calendar. We're coming back. And I think that's the mentality with a lot of our special events here as well and our functions that we have planned for, you know, larger gatherings here in Virginia City. And then finally, I'll mention Pipers. Again, the recommendation is to close Pipers for a little while. We don't want to put them in jeopardy, and our employees who could be at high risk there as well to be subject to that. So we have, as most the county departments, created some things to do for them because of spring cleaning and some other projects that we wanted to do, like finish building an office or work in the visitor center, which needs some big cleaning. And again, but we do have some. We have a lot of things to do to continue the ball rolling in a positive direction. So hopefully that's what we can contribute. So, any questions?
No. Thanks, Danny.
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. I have some internal things to talk about what we've been doing with this as a team, and I really start with that is it's been all of us. As Denny and Joe had just said, is all of us have a different component and something to offer in how we serve our businesses and our residents across the county through county services. I can't imagine being in a better place in such a situation like this now. Some of the things that we're working on as a team is you noticed on Monday that we did a minimal staffing day. Really was a chance to go ahead and send some certain folks home that are non-emergency response team and allow our department heads, ourselves, Mr. Curtis and our EOC team to spend the entire day planning, putting together a organization of how we're going to operate for the next week and maybe longer without distraction of other things that are occurring. So we were able to do that and spent the whole day working on that of, now, what are we going to do today, for example? You see that we're able to operate. We're in full operation with full staffing. But here's kind of a bullet point of what we had come up with and what we're operating under now. The first thing is, you know, the goal here is to maintain the services of the county, of course, but to do so in making sure that we have the health and safety of not only our employees, but also of our residents and people that come into the building to provide or get service in mind. Also is to make sure that we're complying with NRSs regarding certain statutory offices and services. And really in doing this, in summary, is we had to end up developing an IEP for each of the offices, like an individualized employee-employer plan. Generally, Monday through Friday, operations will continue with some caveat. So for now, sick employees are to stay home. Non-essential meetings, gatherings, trainings, and travels, and those sorts of things are to be canceled until further notice. Our public works team is engaged in increased sanitation throughout the building. They're taking resources where it's not needed, and as simple as washing doorknobs and door handles and restrooms, things like that. Remote meeting setup is happening as much as possible. This next planning commission meeting on Thursday, for example, there will be some folks in this room, but we're encouraging the planning commissioners to attend by virtual meeting, and we are going to reduce the size of that agenda to essential items only. There are a couple applicants waiting for some action that we will hear. Title 17 and a couple other non-urgent items will be continued. Gatherings of over 50 are to be canceled or amended so that they are to be of less people and less density. Social distancing, I think we all know what that is at this point. Fire marshal across the state with 50% capacity of whatever buildings is being enforced and maintained. I talked about individual employer-employee plans, and these things include certain employees that have health issues or they live with someone at home that has a compromised health issue. We're working on very specific ways to address those folks. Folks that have child care, we're working with them. Any type of disability, ADA, or any other kinds of things you can imagine, we've worked with those specific employees to provide necessary means for them to be able to continue working, but do so in a way that doesn't put themselves or others at risk. We're encouraging online bill pay, calling in when possible. If you have a question of the courthouse staff, call first and say, how can I do something? Can I pay late? The courts are taking action that I won't speak to what they are, but having some delays and things like that, people should call about that. We're looking at our policies and procedures, not only reviewing them, but looking at areas they might be updated with regard to pandemic type of matters. We're looking at a hiring freeze at the moment and a spending freeze for non-essential items in order to make sure that we're prepared for whatever budgetary considerations might be needed, depending on how long this situation lasts. We're promoting, as Danny has said, businesses and the VCTC group, as well as out of TRI. Danny explained that, but our entire team has been on C Street, has been on social media, has called individuals and visited individuals to inform them where we are, what's happening, what kinds of things to expect. And then really, it's all about team. All of us have had something involved in all of this. And then last but not least, I just want to summarize a couple things with the Story County Senior Services, what you had heard earlier about the food programs and the drive-by grabbing food. Those sorts of things are happening both at the Virginia City Senior Center as well as the Lockwood Senior Center. There are also programs. You need groceries. You need to go to your doctor. You need to have prescriptions. They have a ride program that continues under those circumstances. They cannot go into the doctor's office with you, but they can get you to and from your doctor's office. And they will also do other things. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Anything for Austin?
No question.
No?
Okay. Great. Thanks, Austin.
Legal counsel going to weigh in on this?
I think that everything's been spelled out. I think that the resolution's been read. But pursuant to the language in the Declaration of Disaster Emergency under 2.20.030, if you determine by a board that you're going to declare an emergency, it is a quorum in the county, and you have a quorum, so whatever you choose to do.
Very good. Any additional public comment? Hearing none, we move forward with a motion.
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve resolution number 20-568, declaring an emergency due to COVID-19.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second your motion.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I'd like to make a comment.
Go right ahead, Commissioner.
I just received information regarding businesses and assistance. And it says the SBA has administratively declared the following counties of Nevada as an economic disaster. And it are all the counties that we've discussed, including Story County. More information can be found on the SBA webpage, https://disasterloan.sba.gov/ELA/comma. And a one-pager on the EIDL program is attached. So there is SBA money available today in the county for our businesses that are having financial challenges.
Terrific.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Our team through Rat Strategies has been posting religiously all over our social medias. We'd be happy to add that to one of our postings and then visit some folks in our community and let them know that resource is available. Thank you.
All right. Move along now to item number 5. We have public comment. Anyone like to make any public comment now? Hearing none, we're going to adjourn.
Good thing we might see. Can you just follow that?